First, we should mandate that 70% of all new cars made in America should be flex-fuel cars. It costs only $35 to take a standard gasoline car and make it capable of flex-fuel operation. For the 15 years that car is going to be on the road, we ensure that the consumer can pick the cheapest fuel that's available. That's $35 is not too much to buy a 15-year option. Second, despite nice words from the American Petroleum Institute, make no mistake about it, they are not interested in a rapid transition. In fact, we have a valuable proposition in California called Proposition 87, and the oil industry has spent $57 million in a despicable campaign of misinformation and lies, trying to threaten consumers that they will break the law and raise gas prices. We should mandate that at least 10% of gas stations in this country, either owned or branded by any of the major suppliers, that leaves out the mom-and-pop stations, offer E85. Sweden has effectively mandated that 60% of its gas stations offer E85 by 2009. Why can't we ask for 10%? It's a minimal level. The third piece is very important. There is no question that the oil interests have a strong interest in keeping us addicted to oil. In fact, the vice chairman of a major national oil company came up to me in January after I gave this talk at Davos and said, "We can drop the price of oil." They will drop the price of oil, as was done in 1985, and we have to insure against it. Today, we have a credit, a $0.51 credit on ethanol that, by all accounts, we don't need. I'm recommending that we make that a variable credit, that it be a $0.25 credit at $75 oil, and it be a $0.75 credit at $25 oil. So it'd be countercyclical with oil. It will reduce the amount of subsidies we hand out today, entirely fund the first two mandates I've talked about, and yet leave the Treasury with less spending. It's a win-win. Farmers get insurance, the ethanol producers get insurance, we get a renewable future, and we spend less government money. These three things will do one very important thing. It will say to Wall Street that even though the government is spending less money, with less spending, we are signaling we are serious about this market. The cars will be there if the E85 is there. There will be a long-term demand and vehicles capable of using it, that we will not let the oil companies either keep it out of distribution or have Saudi Arabia manipulate the price of oil. I apologize for being so direct. But it signals to investors that they can safely invest the billions and billions of dollars needed in this renewable future if they can ensure that they will be market competitive, unsubsidized in this marketplace. If they can provide a cheaper fuel to consumers, we will let that happen. We will let market forces operate. Investors will invest the billions. They invested hundreds of billions in the internet, in the telecom revolution. It's entirely possible here. This is a much more attractive and larger market and more subject to innovation. With that, here's my forecast of what we can do. In blue is the demand for gasoline in this country. Depending upon what efficiency scenario you assume, there's a band where either it's growing or relatively flat. And this is how much of it can be replaced with ethanol. This is not a 10% solution. This is not a 20% solution. This is easily a 100% solution. If I'm wrong by 50% in my forecast. We've still almost replaced all our imports. Even failure is success in this case. The second thing I want to touch base on briefly and come to an additional set of short-term recommendations is that's the additive market. That's what the oil companies would like us to stick with. Just be a blend into gasoline, that's a 15 billion gallon market at E10. I suggest that the real market is much, much larger if we let an E85 future happen. And market forces can ensure that this fuel will be cheaper, unsubsidized in the marketplace. And that's the real prize, not this 15 billion gallon additive market.